Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James chapter 3 this morning. Still in James, I've been enjoying this series very much. It's been challenging me in a lot of ways. One of the particular ways that it's been challenging me is as we've been going back, really how we are to love each other. And you think you got a handle on things, you think you know how to love somebody. Then it hits you in the face, and you're like, oh, no, I really don't know how to love the way that I should. And so the book of James has been opening my eyes on this. And then last week we went through and we talked about how the tongue can ruin so many relationships. Matter of fact, just before I get into God's Word this morning, not only can it ruin families, but I want you to think about this. It can cause church splits. It can cause church splits. So controlling the tongue is important for us to take in consideration as things might arise and we might not agree with certain things or we might not agree with somebody. Remember to always think before you speak. And that's a good thing to live by. I thought we were going to be done with this morning. But I'm not, and so we might get through this, and we might move into chapter 4. I got a whole thing of notes for chapter 4 just in case. But before we get going any further, let's ask God to gather our thoughts as we meet with Him in these next few moments so we can see what Scripture has for us this morning. Lord, we are grateful again that we are able to be here. It is a great privilege to stand behind the pulpit to give Your Word. God, I know there are many more qualified people who can do it better than I can, but God, you saw fit for me to be in this pulpit this morning, and I thank you so much for that. And I pray, Lord, that you would just use me to speak to your people. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to do so. Lord, as I look around this morning, I'm seeing a lot of empty seats, and I know why they're empty. I know some are away from their regular thing in life and visiting family. And as they come home, probably this afternoon or this evening, we ask that you just give them traveling mercies. Lord, I know that there are some who are not feeling well this morning, and I pray that you just put your hand of healing upon them. And Lord, I know some will be watching through YouTube as well, and God, I pray that there be no interruptions, and they would be able to hear very clearly, and we are thankful for these things that you've allowed us to have. We thank you for your word this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, we left off in the book of James chapter 3 last week, and we left off in verse number 8. That's what we read down to. But let's go back and let's reread this whole story here. Then we'll pick it up in verse number 9 as well. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of a little fire kindleth." Which is why I called last week the message, the beast. The tongue is a beast. Verse number 6, and it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things, and the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. I'm going to stop and take a little break before I begin to go on in verse number 9. Even though the Bible says that man cannot tame his tongue, I do know of someone who can tame our tongue, and that is God himself. And that is somebody that we need to be seeking on a daily matter in this part in our lives. Why is that? Because the tongue is harmful. The tongue is poisonous. The tongue causes hurt. The tongue causes separation. And we can go on and on with this list about what the tongue can do. And so we cannot contain the tongue, but we can call on a mighty God who can tame our tongue for us. Now we're going to go on in verse number 9 and finish out the rest of this chapter. It says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at that same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Listen to this verse, verse 15. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that maketh peace." Jump down to verse number 1 of chapter 4. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So here is the conclusion as we read this story about the tongue, how it is a beast, how it is used to hurt people, and it is used to also to encourage and to edify people as well. Well, one thing that I found very interesting as we're talking about the tongue and how no man can tame it, verse number 9, it says, out of our own mouths, it says, therefore we bless God. We sit there and we say, oh God, we thank you for what you've done. We adore your majesty. You're great, you're holy, you're pure, you're righteous. Those are things that flow off of our lips. You bless us in many ways. We're grateful for these things. But out of the same mouth, here's what we do. It says, and therewith curse we men. So in other words, one second we're blessing God with our mouth, our tongue speaks, we bless God, and then the next moment we're turning around and we curse the very men that God has placed us here upon the earth. Well, how do we curse men? Well, let's think about this for a moment. Someone that we don't agree with will sit there and say, I cannot believe that jerk. That's what will flow out of our mouth. Most often, here's what we do, and I know this sounds funny, but we'll get in our cars, and I've done it this week. I was on the phone with my wife. I just called her. I let her know what I was doing. We're crossing paths on phones. And I got silent real quick. She says, Chad, what's wrong? And I said, there's this moron right in front of me. I said moron because it kind of sounds like Mormon a little bit. But anyway, I said, this moron's right in front of me. He won't go. And she's like, Chad, calm down. I said, this is ridiculous. We got a green light, and now he's put on his hazard lights. You know, that sounds kind of funny, but what am I doing? I'm cursing the man that's in front of me. You know, that's not how you and I are to act towards this world, even though that he didn't see what I was doing, he didn't hear the words that were coming out of my mouth, but I knew what I was doing towards him. Now, how did that benefit me? Let me tell you how it benefited me. Absolutely nothing. I gained nothing from that. Matter of fact, I felt very stupid or dumb doing what I did. See, one moment we're blessing God. Then the next moment we're cursing God. Now let's switch, cursing man, let's switch this around. Sometimes we don't bless God with our mouth. We curse God with our mouth. Well, how do we do those things? How dare you, God? How dare you? How dare you allow me to go through these things in my life? I can't believe you did this to me, God. As I said last week, and I'll say it again, those are times where God's trying to grow us. And we need to be still in those times and know who is God and allow ourselves to grow through those circumstances. So we bless God one moment, and we curse God one moment. And it goes down to verse number 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." You know, they begin to talk about the wise man for a little bit. You know, you think people are wise by their conversations. You guys ever think that when you hear somebody talk? You begin to hear someone talk about something, you're like, wow, this individual's wise. And we go off, wow, this individual's wise by how he looks. I heard a comment almost 10 years ago, wow, this guy's going to be president because he's got nice creases in his pants. I kid you not, I heard those things, and you guys have probably heard those things as well. Anyway, we look on the outward appearance of those things, but a wise man, as you begin to think about this, will begin to talk good about people. He will begin to think about his conversation that he's going to have with those individuals. A foolish person is not going to think about those things. I gave you an example of a foolish person. I was a foolish person the other day talking about the individual in front of me. I wasn't acting wise. I wasn't being wise. I was being foolish. I was being stubborn. And I was being selfish. And I was acting out on like a childlike behavior. I wasn't acting wise. But a wise man will think about the things that he's going to say to individuals. A wise man has knowledge in these areas. A wise man endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation. So a wise man is going to have a good conversation. Well, what's a good conversation? Well, let's think about this for a moment. You know, it's not wise for us to go around and to belittle one another. That's not our job. That's not what God put us here for, is to go around and to constantly belittle people, drag them through the mud, talk bad about them. That's not our job. That's not a good conversation. That's not what God designed us to do. So a wise person will have knowledge about having a good conversation. And that's what we need to be seeking in our life. It says, let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But look at verse number 14. It says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because here's what's going to take place. In verse number 15, it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It's not of God. It's not of a holy God. It's not of a righteous God. It descended not from above. Here's what it is of. It says, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Chad, why are you talking about controlling your tongue once again this week? Because I believe it's very important for us as a church to understand that Satan, the devil, wants us to be at odds with one another. He wants us to be at war with one another. He wants us to slander each other. He wants us to have a horrible conversation about each other. Anybody get around your family this week and something was said and you got mad and you walked out? Or maybe something was said and it hurt your feelings and you didn't want to be around that particular part of the family for the rest of the day? I know no hands are being raised, but that possibly could have happened in your household. I don't know. I wasn't there. But those things do take place. And why do they take place? For this reason. Not only does Satan want to destroy the earthly family, the family that are brought together by a husband and wife who have children, and they go on and they have children, they bring in nephews and nieces and grandkids and all that nature. Not only does he want to destroy that family, because he's against families. This might be a news flash to some people, but he is against families. Why? Because God's all for family. That's why. Whatever God is for, he is against. And so with that being said, so not only does he want to destroy the earthly family through some probably negative conversations, some that aren't full of wisdom, but he wants to destroy the church family. He wants to destroy the church family. I said a moment ago that the tongue can cause separation in the church. The tongue can cause church splits. And I've seen it happen. I've heard of it happening. I know of some churches that I know their pastors that it's happened right in front of them. Why? Because conversations became full of worldly conversations. They were no longer full of wisdom. They were no longer from God. And they begin to go around and begin to slander, talk about each other behind their backs, becoming very negative of the things that were taking place in the church, not being happy with the carpet that was laid or the lights that were put in or the fans that were put in. And they would go behind each other's back and they begin to sow discord among each other. See, sowing discord is using your tongue. It's using your mouth. And they begin to do these things. And then as they would do these things, people would become angry, and it would become bitter in their feelings. And then they would walk away from the church. And as they would walk, they would bring other people with them. See, God doesn't want the church family to be destroyed as well. But Satan wants to destroy the family of God. Which is why the last few weeks I've been so adamant about how we are to love one another, how we are to have fellowship with one another. That's in God's word. Fellowship with one another is in God's word. And so the more that we begin to love on each other, the more that we begin to have fellowship with one another, the more of a bond that we're going to have. And when those times that might arise with some negative conversation, guess what's going to take place? Wisdom from above is going to descend down upon us. We're going to say, hey, not here. Not at Open Door Baptist. We're not going to have that. Because we've been taught to control our tongue. We've been taught to think about the things before they come out of our mouths so we don't harm relationships. You know, we say some of the dumbest things in the heat of the moment. We truly do. We say things that are hurtful. Many of us around here that are married, we can sit there and go back and reflect on our relationship with our spouses, and we can begin to think about the arguments that we got in. And I know one thing that always takes place. We say the dumbest things. They're so dumb, but they're very hurtful. And they hit right to the core of the heart. And we might not even mean those things. And I've heard people say, well, if you said it, you mean it. You know, I'm almost under the impression they're right on those things. Because why else would it come out of our mouth? Which is why, again, think before we speak. And so we would hash out and we would want to get up one on our spouse and we would want to either demean her or demean him. And we wouldn't be able to control our tongue because we're angry, we're full of bitterness at the time, and we'll say the harshest things. And then before you know it, not only are they affected by it, but then the kids are affected by it as well. You know, I've come to find out not only are the kids affected by this, but I've found this out lately, and we laugh about this. But our dogs, our animals are affected by it. They're scared. They know the octave change in your voice. They sense that something's different. We've seen our little dogs that are soon going to be buried. I'm just kidding. See, we say the dumbest things. I'm just making a point. But we see our dogs at those times shaking and quivering in their fur, just wanting you to knock it off. See, it affects people around us, and it affects the animals around us as well. There's power in the tongue. And we need to begin to see the importance of trying to control it. Out of a wise man will come forth good conversation. A wise man, when they come to the time of conflict, of what's the other word I'm looking for? Confrontation would be the other word I'm looking for. When it comes time for those things, a wise man will begin to, hey, I'm not going to react out of what people say, but I'm going to listen and I'm going to actually put some thought into this. Some thought where I'm not going to demean the individual. I'm not going to talk bad about them. But I want to show them, hey, one, I'm listening, and two, I'm not trying to hurt you in my retaliation. A wise man will spill forth good conversation. You know how easy a situation can be de-escalated by a wise man having good conversation come forth from his mouth? Very simple. You know how many times an argument between a husband and a wife can be de-escalated? And I'm going to say this, and you guys might laugh, but if both parties would recognize that neither one of them are right, but God is, and seek each other's forgiveness immediately. That's how quickly you can de-escalate an argument. We're both wrong. God's right. Forgive me. I love you. Let's move on. That's a good conversation to talk about. Hey, honey, this is how we're going to deal with situations. We're not going to come after each other. Let's seek God in these matters. By the way, you can stop them before they happen. Well, how do you stop those things? By the spouses being on the same page, seeking God's guidance in their relationship every single day. That's how you can help that out in that situation in your life. So when it comes down to what the Word is saying here, it says in verse number 15, let's read this again. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. That's not me calling you sensual. That's not me saying that we are devilish. That is the Word of God that is saying that. And that's how we got to look at ourselves during these times. Am I the one that will cause a devilish-like attitude to spill forth from somebody because of how I retaliated to them? We need to seek God in these areas. So verse number 16 has it continue, says, for where envy and strife is, here's what the tongue can cause. The tongue will cause confusion. The tongue will cause confusion. Well, this person said this a while ago, but now they're taking their stance on something else. The tongue causes confusion. Not only does it cause confusion, but it also causes evil work. That's what the tongue does to us. I don't understand how so-and-so said this. I'm confused. Has anybody ever had that thought? I've had those thoughts. I don't understand where they're coming from. I don't understand that they're wanting to cause strife. I don't understand those things. Well, here's why it happens. Because it's not godly wisdom. It's earthly wisdom. So in verse number 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So as the tongue is cannot be tamed, and the tongue causes two different things. One, it can cause us to have worldly wisdom. Two, it can cause us to have heavenly wisdom, spiritual wisdom. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You know, we can have pure conversations. We can have those things. But how do we have those things? Well, we got to seek God. We got to ask God for it. Then it also says, it's first pure, then it's peaceable. That just backs me up what I said a little while ago. How can you de-escalate situations? By seeking godly wisdom. It will de-escalate situations. It can cause peaceable times. You know, I'm a child of the 70s. I was born in 75. And I don't remember much of 75 and 76. Or 77, 78, 79, 80, 81. 80, no, I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you folks are awake. But I do remember the year of 1980. I remember 1979. You might sit there and say, man, Chad, you know those what happened those times? Yeah, it's called history books. I read history. But I remember very vividly in the 80s was President Reagan's when he came upon the scene and he took over as president. And I remember some things that were taking place during the Carter era as the those things escalated. But I also remember on certain occasions when the wall came tumbling down over in Germany. I remember those times, but I also remember those times very specifically because I remember being surrounded by the television at that point in time looking at our president. And I believe Ronald Reagan delivered some of the greatest speeches, but one of the things that I appreciate about Ronald Reagan was the softness of his voice. He was such a soft speaker. And I used to like imitating his voice. I can't do that very well. I just like to do those things. But I can just remember him coming upon the television as those things would come about in our era at that time, and it would cause a lot of confusion. There would be a lot of feelings that would come up. A lot of people would become scared. I was one of those. I was a scared kid. Watching what was taking place overseas and seeing all the chaos at times taking place. I remember those things. But also remember President Reagan would deliver his speeches, and just the way he spoke at times brought peace. And I honestly believe that God bestowed upon him sometimes some wisdom from above. And he was able to bring peace to a lot of people. Now he's not able to bring peace the way God can to our lives, but he was able to do those things. It says, but wisdom that is first from above is first pure, then it's peaceable. And now not only is it peaceable, but it's gentle. Gentle is kind. It's loving. And that's how we need to be seeking these things. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. You know, so often we want to hurt people. But we need to be merciful to people. We need to show them mercy. I'll never forget this one act that my father did, and I know he's probably forgotten this, but I like to remind him of these things at times. There was one time that I'll never forget my father showing me the mercy that he showed me in my life. And it was tough for me to, at times, for my mind to be wrapped around being a preacher's kid, and then come to school having him be my principal, and times he'd be my teacher. And that's not an easy task. That's difficult. But there are times where I wanted that separation. And I remember one particular time that I was causing some trouble in school. Imagine that, I caused trouble. And I'll tell you exactly what I did. There is a young man that I like to pick on occasions. And downstairs, a lot of you folks haven't been down here, but years ago we used to have lockers down there, and that's where we used to do a lot of our game time during the winter and all that stuff. And we would change down there for PE and all those things. And I decided one day that I was going to grab a tack, a thumb tack. And I was going to try to poke a kid in the chest with it. Well, little did I know what was going to take place was going to be damaging. Obviously, he got out of the way because he didn't want to be poked, but he ends up going through the wall downstairs. Puts a big hole in the wall. I didn't do it. He did it. But I got in trouble for it. I'll never forget this. My dad and I, we walked up here. I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get spanked. But I also knew as I was walking up here, I always look around. And I saw exit signs. And I remember seeing this exit sign over here to my right, or to my left here. And I saw that thing, and I pushed that door open, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran. I ran like Forrest Gump before Forrest Gump was even around. And I ran around this block, and I came back through this yard back here. And right in the back here, a lot of folks don't remember this, but we used to have two windows back here. And you used to be able to see outside. And the reason why we had windows out there is because Pastor used to preach late. And it used to be sunny when we came in, and sometimes it would be dark. I'm just kidding you, folks. I'm just seeing if you're awake. And I remember as I came back, I saw my father looking through those windows right at me. The next thing that I experienced in my life is something I'll never, ever, ever forget.
was the fact that he showed me mercy. He didn't scold me. He didn't yell at me. Matter of fact, I don't even recall getting a whooping that day. But what I experienced was, hey, I just walked out of here. I was rebellious. And I ran away from what I was supposed to have gotten in my life. But he saw me come back, and you know what he did? He showed me mercy, and he opened up his arms, and he gave me a hug. How did that come about? I know this illustration is a little bit long, but that came about because God bestowed heavenly spiritual wisdom upon him. And I can only imagine what he was thinking as I took off for that amount of time. Boy, when that kid gets back, I'm going to strangle his neck. Well, I'm going to poison his food. I don't know if that's what he thought. But those things run through my mind later as I gotten older. But that took place because God bestowed upon him wisdom. See, our tongue can show mercy towards people. And that's what we need to be demonstrating in our life. But the wisdom that is from above us are pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Not only will our tongue cause us to show mercy, not will it allow us to be gentle and peaceful towards people, but our tongue will allow us to do good towards others. If we allow God to bestow heavenly wisdom upon us, that's what can be done in our lives. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Where do wars and fightings come from? Wars and fightings come from, as mentioned in verse number 1 of chapter number 4, wars and fightings come from a tongue that cannot be controlled, that cannot be tamed. But I do know that our Heavenly Father can work through us to de-escalate those situations that will arise in our lives. Why is this important this morning? Because I know for a fact Satan wants to destroy Open Door Baptist Church through people through the use of a vile, poisonous tongue. I know that for a fact. And unfortunately, at times, I get caught up in those situations. We all get caught up in those situations. But we need to allow God to bestow His wisdom upon us so that those things don't take place. See, the tongue can cause hurt. The tongue can cause confusion. The tongue will cause things to be scared, as I mentioned, as it affects our kids at times when we go through our marriages. It affects the animals that are around us. I never really thought about that until I've seen our own dogs do these things. You're saying you and Chris argue at times? Yeah, we argue at times. We have intense fellowship. But the greatest thing about Chris and I that I really enjoy is the forgiveness that takes place between us. And we're both able to say, hey, we're here because of our tongue. We're here because we didn't allow ourselves to let God can control the conversations that were coming out of our mouth. So we recognize those things. Now, do we recognize those things right away? No. We sure don't. Do we fail just like anybody else? Yes. But we do know that God is the center of our relationship. Without Him, we fail. See, the tongue is hurtful. And we hurt the people that are the closest to us. Because we don't think about what we say before we speak. We talk out of retaliation. we talk about, because we don't want them to be above us. We want to come after them real quick. That's what we think. That's our mentality. But in the process, we hurt people. And I have hurt my wife many times because of this stupid thing called the tongue, the beast. I've hurt my own daughter. I've hurt my own family members, my own church members. Say, Chad, you're up here confessing. I'm up here saying Satan wants to destroy this church, and he'll use anybody and everybody. So as I begin to close in this, I'm going to ask you folks to do this. I'm going to ask you folks to make this a daily prayer in your life, that God would control your tongue. That God will control your tongue. So that no is no longer full of poisonous, full of envy, full of bitterness, and that only good conversations will come out of your mouth. See, this, as I said earlier, as I begin to open up with this, the book of James is, it's eye-opening. It truly is. I've always told you folks, I put myself in the story. You know how I put myself in the story here? This is going to sound funny. I'm the tongue. That's how I put myself. And so I begin to think about how many times have I hurt people with the stupidity that's come out of my mouth. We can control the tongue with the help of God. And that's what I'm trying to get out this morning. We can control the tongue with God's help. But we need to ask God. The Bible says we have not. For what reason? Because we ask not. Exactly. But Chad, I'm so mad at this church member. I'm so mad at this brother and this sister. How do we forgive somebody? By asking God. We keep those feelings inside because we ask not. It's simple. God's given us the solution to everything in his Bible. But we ignore it on so many different occasions. We ignore it as a church. We have not because we ask not. Well, I don't have time to get into chapter 4 today, so it would be silly of me to even try. So that being said, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to have some more free time than we normally have. It's going to be time for us to practice our tongue and how we can edify each other and be an encouragement to one another. And looking forward to that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for giving us the avenue of being able to control our tongue, and that is through you. Help us to be faithful in asking you in this area to control it better than we've ever had in our lives. And so, God, I pray that you just work there. Lord, forgive us where we have been so hurtful towards people with the use of our tongue. And so, God, I pray that you would begin to show us some things in our lives this week. We thank you this morning. Lord, we love you, as I always say, because you first loved us. We have no idea how to love if it wasn't for you. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name this morning. In your name, amen.